We're turning this morning to the Psalm 50. What I want to try to do this morning is to preach upon the subject, Can You Trust God? The text on the verse 15 of the Psalm that we read together, And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We live in a day and age in which there is tremendous pressure on each individual person, regardless of their station in life. It's not easy to cope with all the problems that beset us on a daily basis. The Bible teaches us in the book of Job, chapter 5, and the verse 7, Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Because of the disobedience of our first parents in the Garden of Eden, trouble and sorrow and separation and pain and tears follow us all the days of our life. And the last great enemy that we face is the enemy of death. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 26, it tells us that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now the born-again believer is not exempt from these troubles. How have you been coping with the problems of life? Life is difficult. The illness that you are encountering with its pain and its weakness, maybe no one understands the sense of helplessness that you feel, the mental agony that is tearing you apart. You're finding it difficult to cope with life. Your mind is as it would be at wit's end corner. Perhaps your marriage is not what you envisaged, and you feel trapped. It's not what you expected. Of course, marriage is a give and take. It's the meshing of two different personalities into one flesh, and it is not easy. Of course, adultery is not an option with God today. And it is something that when we marry for better or for worse. Of course, the world today doesn't look at it like that. The first problem that arises, they just say, well, I'm not coping with this, and I don't want to be like this, and I don't want to feel like this, and I'm not going to change, and so they opt out. And we have a situation where we have tremendous stress on society and upon the family that is left to pick up the threads. Maybe it's frustration at work, passed over for promotion. Maybe workmates are not easy to get on with. Maybe it's your farm or your business, and it's not doing as well as you expected. And what you expected to happen didn't materialize. And now you're faced with great loss. Money problems, overspending, buying those things you couldn't afford, and now you're sick with worry. You're scared to open the post or answer the telephone in case someone is pressurizing you for payment. And you know, these are real things that are happening in the world today. I remember a man, a friend of mine, some years ago, pacing up and down in front of a house that he was visiting in. So much was he caught up with debt that he didn't know where to turn to through just lack of thought and overspending. And we find ourselves in this situation today that people are spending and encouraged to spend, and they have got to the stage with credit cards that it is unreal. It is sad that people are being encouraged to get themselves into such a situation. Not able, perhaps, to live to the lifestyle of your friends. You know, people want to keep up with the Joneses today. They want very much to have what everybody else has, and they will go into debt to get what they can't really afford. Maybe that family member, the son or the daughter, is far into the world and causing you sleepless nights, and you do not know what to do or where to turn for help. One of the most difficult things to cope with is when some trusted Christian friend has turned against you. maybe spread rumors or lies or disclose confidences that you shared together. Nothing is so devastating as being let down by a brother or sister in the Lord. In Psalm 55, we read of the psalmist David, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." Adversity and its accompanying emotional pain comes in many forms. Perhaps we haven't named your heartache, and yet you understand what we mean when we say that we find ourselves in tremendous trouble, even in the age in which we live. The worst pain, of course, is caused when it is the result of our own stupidity or sin. Now, some always blame God, and they always God's fault when things go wrong. But you know, the Bible tells us that there is a consequences to our sin. And sin always has consequences. And we have sometimes to live with the results of that sin and the consequences of it. You can't turn back the clock. You can't live the past over again. By some action that we have taken or some words that we have said, we have sinned and we have caused untold trouble, and we can't turn back the clock. We must confess that sin and turn from it. How have you coped with your adversity in life? As a Christian, have you gone to the Lord for help and comfort? Or have you blamed God for all your troubles? Maybe you've said in your heart at times, God is unfair. Sure, if God is God, he could have kept me from my problem. I think he mustn't love me anymore. Maybe you've become angry and you've hit out at everyone and took an unscriptural position. Parents who put their son or daughter out because they're going with a Roman Catholic will regret with bitter tears and will cry to God to save their son or daughter, will long for contact again. I remember a man telling me that his son came home one night and said he was going with a Roman Catholic, and he just took the door, he said, nearly off the handle and shoved him out onto the street and told him not to come back again. But he said for the next fortnight, he says, the wife and I on our knees wept and the tears run down the kitchen floor as we cried unto God that God would bring him back again, that we would have contact. You see, we do things sometimes on the spur of the moment. We do it sometimes because someone else tells us. I remember a young father coming to me one night. They said the daughter was going with a Roman Catholic. I'm going home to throw her out. I said, come on in to get a cup of tea. They said, what would you do? Well, I said, I can't judge for your situation, because it's all right rearing your own family, but you can't rear someone else's. And I said, my advice is that you think very carefully before you do it. He came back some time later and he said, I'm glad I called. He said, it's all over now. And he says, I still have contact with my daughter. You see, we need in these days to look at things. How would God react to these situations? Parents who find that the son or daughter comes home to say that a child is on the way. Sin has brought serious consequences to the family. How do you react as a Christian? Always remember Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And we must learn to trust God in all circumstances of life. Now, of course, this verse does not overlook sin. Rather, it is a condemning of sin. But there is always forgiveness when someone repents. And we have to be careful when we see a brother or sister, or we see someone belonging to us in sin, that we're willing to pray for them and to bring them to the throne of grace and prayer daily, that God will bring them to repentance. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And you know, where can any one of us today but say, there but for the grace of God, go I? Because in our hearts, there is the seedbed of every sin conceivable in the world today. And it is only the grace of God that has brought us thus far and kept us in the right way. The question is, can you trust God even when everything seems to have gone wrong? Now, it's all right saying, oh yes, I trust God, when everything is rosy in the garden, everything is going well. But then suddenly something happens, a crisis comes, something we haven't been expecting, and all of a sudden we're faced with a different situation. Can you trust God when everything has gone wrong? Our text says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You see, everything God does is to glorify His name. Not to glorify us, but to glorify His name. We have Psalm 46 in the verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Why can we trust God? Can you trust God? Can God be trusted? Three very simple things this morning we want to look at. First of all, we can trust God because God is sovereign in every circumstance. Now, to believe that God is sovereign is to accept God as the supreme power. The dictionary tells us supreme, exempt from external control, supreme ruler. And when we believe that God is the only true and living God, the only supreme ruler of mankind, and the ruler of all that we see and know as human beings, then we see the mighty, majestic God, the great creator God, the God that is interested in all the circumstances of our daily life, the God who is in control of everything, the God that controls your life and my life, controls the life of the world in which we live. And God is interested in all the circumstances of our daily life. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things, the good times, the bad times, the problem times, the times of heartache, the times of sorrow, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. In Acts 17:28, we read, for in Him we live and move and have our being. In other words, the reason that you're here this morning is because God allowed you to get out of your bed this morning. If last night had have been the night that God had laid out in His sovereign plan and purpose that you would go home to glory as a Christian, or if you're not saved, that you would have ended up in hell, you would already be in it. If God's time for you to go had come, you would have went. For in Him we live, but He has allowed us to live another day, and to move, and to have our being. Everything that we have and possess is because God has given it to us. God is always looking after His family. Earthly parents may turn their back on their own family, but God never casts off His children. Chastises us, yes, but never throws us out. Let us realize that God knows everything that happens to us as His children. And He allows to happen things for His glory and for our benefit, or brings to pass for our good and for His glory. Things that sometimes we don't like. In Matthew 10:29, it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father." If two sparrows flying in that vast universe in which we live, and God knows when one of them would fall to the ground, how much more does He not look after us, His children, by sovereign grace? In Psalm 33, it tells us in the verse 10, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people to none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth." Our God is still in control. God's plan for this world is working out, and it's not a minute out of control. It's not a minute out of sync. Cannot be. Oh yes, we sometimes wonder. We're only human and we think that things have got out of control. But it's only as God has allowed it in His permissible will. In 1902, the announcement was made that Edward the VII was to be crowned king at Westminster. The man was sitting reading the paper with his family at the breakfast table. Of course, you don't get that now because one's out and away and another's gone. But in those days, they would have had their breakfast together. And he had read this announcement in the paper. He said, "I'm worried about that." And his wife said, "Why?" He says, "There's no 'in the will of the Lord' added to it." When the time arrived for the coronation, it had to be postponed because Edward had appendicitis. Was God letting the then great British Empire know that it could not carry out its plans to their timing? That God was in control. In James 4:15, it tells us, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that." If the Lord will, do you and I accept God as the supreme ruler in our life? I trust you do. That you never forget that you can trust God because He is the supreme ruler in your life and in your circumstances, personally, in Londonderry. Do you believe that God is the supreme ruler in our country? God is in control. That God brings to pass or allows all that happens to us for His purpose and for His glory. God can be trusted because God is sovereign. We can trust God because God is sovereign in every circumstance. But we can trust God because God is infinite in wisdom. We never can understand the reason that God allows trouble to come our way. And yet one day when we see Jesus face to face, will we see the wisdom of the ways of the Lord. In Romans 11:33, it tells us, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." In Proverbs 21:30, "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord." And Isaiah 55:8, that wonderful verse, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." God is infinite in wisdom. And everything He does and plans for your life and for my life is exactly as it should be, and there is one day we will realize that. Oh, we don't see it now. We only look, as it were, through a glass darkly. We cannot understand and we cannot see the wisdom of God. We are just human beings. We must come to be honestly able to say, "God, I do not have to understand I will trust you. Not easy, sure it's not. And yet if we do, things in life will be much easier for us. And we will have more peace of mind. You remember Job was one of the most afflicted men. He lost all of his possessions. And he lost all of his family. And his wife turned against him. And yet Job could say, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, when we're in a meeting and things are going well and the singing is great and we're enjoying the presence of the Lord, we're thrilled with God. But when the dark clouds come, when the problems come, when adversity comes, when sickness comes and illness comes and death comes to our door, can we say, I will trust you? Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed 3 times for deliverance, and yet he came to trust God. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, that he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sometimes God allows us to have sickness. Sometimes God allows us to have problems so that we might trust Him and realize that His grace is sufficient for thee. How often have you gone to visit someone who was terminally ill? How often have you gone not knowing what to say? And yet you have come away from that bedside or that hospital ward and you said, what grace that person has. I don't know how they're coping. And you've been blessed in your own soul. And you know the reason is very simple. That person has got grace. Dying grace. That you and I don't need today. But when that day comes for you and me, we will get that dying grace then. And we will be able to cope just the same. Oh, what a tremendous thing it is to see someone on the verge of eternity, knowing that there's only a short time, and yet they're able to say, I'm leaning hard on the Lord. I'm trusting God. I'm depending on Christ, and know of assurance that He's coming to take me home. I remember a man one time dying. The fact they thought he was dead. And I had been out and I went down to the room to see him. And he said to me, Ronnie, he said, you know, I look at it this way. He said, there are buses coming and going to heaven. God has taken the saints away home. He said, your father and mother went, he says, on earlier buses. He says, my bus is about to come and I'm about to step on and be taken home to glory. You see, that is grace that you and I don't have today. But that's grace that God gave that brother in the Lord at that time. God's wisdom is always right for the believer. If God takes away something that's dear to us, it is always for your good and for His glory. We can trust God because God is sovereign in every circumstance of life. We can trust God because God is infinite in wisdom and He knows what's best for you and I as His child. But we can trust God because God is perfect in love. Romans 8 tells us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What love here displayed. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isaiah 43 in the verse 2 it tells us, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God promises to be with us in trouble. not to always remove the problems, but God promises to be with us through the troubles. Of course, God has to chasten us to keep us continually aware of sin. Proverbs 3:11 tells us, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." And the verse 12 of the same chapter says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." And because God loves us, he chastens us. The father and mother who do not chasten their children leaves their children to grow up to cause havoc in their own home and everywhere they go, and destroys their own life. The Lord always chastens sin in our life. We can read the Old Testament and we can see in God's dealing with his covenant people Israel, and God chastened their sin, and he allowed their enemies to come in and to capture them and to take them into captivity. Sometimes for 40 years, God allowed his people to be chastened by the enemy. And he allowed evil men to bring the chastisement of the Lord upon them. We cannot live life to please ourselves and ignore the law of God. We must always be seeking forgiveness and forsaking sin if we want the blessing of God on our own life and that of our family. Maybe your problem today is sin in your life. God is no fool to allow the child of God to sin and to go his own way. In Hebrews 12:5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." The chastening of the Lord is a sign and an evidence that we are children of the Lord. You know, I believe that wicked and evil men can live out their life without any problems. Sometimes the wicked spread their wings like a green bay tree, and they seem to go through life with absolutely no chastening. But the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay," and their payday is coming. One moment after death, their payday will have arrived, and their retribution that we would long to see even in life has begun. You see, God's ways are not our ways. God sometimes is long-suffering, but then comes the payday. Thank God if he chastens you. Thank him for it, because you're his son. Sometimes we see Christians who live lives, they have no interest in the things of God to any great degree. They're content to come to church once on a Sunday. They never darken the door of a prayer meeting. There's always something in their way, something that they have to do more important than God and God's work. There's always something from Monday to Saturday to keep them away from the things of God. And you often wonder, is there any life there at all? You see, when we're saved, Christ is the first in our lives. If I do not have Christ first in my life, then I am nothing. Oh, I may do great works. I may be charitable. I may be a good neighbor. I might work my fingers to my bones. But what does God say? The first commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is that you love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, the chastisement of the Lord, but his love is something that keeps us day by day. Thank God for that verse we quoted earlier. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." There must be a confessing of sin and a turning from sin, and the grace of God abounds to us. God can be trusted in every adversity of life, even when we are hurting to a great degree. Will you trust God in your own situation and know that God allows you to suffer for His glory and for your good? Will you accept His wisdom even when you cannot understand it? Will you realize that you're loved with the everlasting love of God, love that cannot fail in life, in death, and in eternity, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you? Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Job didn't know if he was going to die, when he was going to die. And in his dire circumstances, he said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait. Why? Till my change comes. You know, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in this morning as a child of God, that change one day is coming. And it's for the good. It's changed into glory. It's changed into heaven. It's changed to being with Christ. Of course, today we have Christ in us. But then we will be with Christ in glory. Can you trust God? Yes, you can. Will you trust God? Oh, I urge everyone to trust God in all circumstances. If you're not saved this morning and you're in the service, then you trust God for salvation and He will save you. If you're a backslider, trust God for restoration and He'll restore you. If you're a child of God, trust God for peace in this life and to help you in all the problems and circumstances of life. And when you cast your all upon Him, you will find that life will become more bearable when you give God the glory, when you give God the preeminence in your life, and you say, Lord, whatever I have to suffer down here, I am willing to do it for your glory, because you know best, and one day you're going to give me the desires of my heart, far beyond what I can ever imagine, when I arrive safely on the heavenly shore. Can you trust God? Praise God, we can trust Him every day of our life.